Hot Business is powered by Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking. Recognized as the best Pan-African bank for SMEs. For tailored solutions and deep sector expertise, search Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking today.
And finally tonight, as we approach 7 o'clock, markets and company news, and our commentator is Simon Brown from Just One Lap. And it's been a good day today, Simon. Another strong day. The all share over 100,000 points. That's a new record, if I'm not mistaken.
Evening, Jeremy. Yeah, we've made 100,000 before, but it was 100,000 and a handful of points, I think 180. We're now trading up north of 100,700 points, and our market is strong. I mean, resources leading the way, financials under a little bit of pressure. I think there's still some hangover from that Nedbank forward guidance earlier in the week. But broadly, we're seeing another really strong day in the market. And even the top 40, 93,500, that could conceivably get to 100,000 by, I want to say the end of the year, but that might be too conservative.
Simon, isn't some of this not a little counterintuitive? Because we have that 30% tariff deadline. One would expect surely the market would be quite spooked, but it seems to be heading in completely the opposite direction.
Jeremy, it is 100% counterintuitive. Yeah, I mean, tariffs kicked in at what, a minute past six this morning. It was just after midnight in Washington. And yet, markets the world over are kind of shaking it off. And what makes it the real head scratcher, perhaps, is that when the tariffs were initially announced back in Liberation Day, 2nd of April, markets were under significant pressure. And when the US stocks were down almost 20% from their highs earlier in the year to the lows in April. Then Trump kicked the can down the road, 90 days, 90 deals. We didn't see very many deals at all. The tariffs have now come back. They're in many cases lower than what there was back in April. But the point is that, you know, we're sitting, the US is now sitting at around about an 18% tariff on all imported goods. This time last year, it was around 2%. That is significant, and not just for America. This is going to have global growth implications. It's going to have potential inflation implications, unemployment, interest rates, and so the list goes on. And yet here we are. Markets just are strong. And it is, you know, in one sense, you could say, well, they think Trump's going to blink. He hasn't. The tariffs are here, and it does leave an absolute head scratcher.
And the Rand also riding a bit of piggyback here, up about a quarter of a percent today.
Yeah, the Rand looking nice. And that often when the Rand is stronger, you immediately go look at the US dollar index. And it's not a completely fair reflection, because the US dollar index is truthfully mostly the dollar euro, and then some other majors, sterling, Swiss franc, yen and the like. But that index is flat on the day, which does mean that the strength that we're seeing in the Rand today is on the back of you know, increased favorability in South Africa. Because if we're seeing a stronger Rand, it means that money is flowing in. More money is coming in than out.
Simon, we'll talk about some company news in just a moment, but there was a strong piece on Business Live earlier today, a warning from the chief executive from South African Breweries, saying that minimum pricing on booze is going to fuel the illegal market. What's the concern here?
I mean, he is. So the idea is that to try and reduce consumption, one of the things you do is you put a floor on the price that alcohol can be sold at. And the logic there is that then some people simply won't be able to afford the alcohol, or perhaps not be able to afford a larger quantity of alcohol, so they will drink less. On paper, we could argue that there's some logic to that, but in practice, the person who wants to drink some more but finds their wallet under pressure is going to look for alternatives. And we certainly have seen a significant increase in illicit, illegal alcohol over the last 5 years, pretty much since the pandemic. And something like this would drive further illegal alcohol, simply because folks who are making it illegally are not going to be concerned by, you know, minimum prices and the like. So they're going to continue to sell at their lower levels. And it will see people will still drink, and it just means that the regulated market will come under pressure.
And there's some dangerous lessons here from the cigarette industry.
Absolutely, absolutely. We saw it in the pandemic when tobacco was banned, or the sale of tobacco was banned, and the country flooded with illegal cigarettes, and that flood has largely remained in place. And once that sort of floodgate is open and people have discovered alternatives, and to be clear, illegal alcohol can be exceedingly dangerous. I mean, you can die from it depending on the T's and C's. But you know, once that floodgate is opened, it's pretty much impossible to close it. And it's not just a health issue. Of course, there's huge amounts of taxes on both tobacco and alcohol.
Simon, the clothing group, the Foschini Group, reporting an 11.5% increase in sales, which is impressive. But what's more impressive is the growth of its online business.
Yeah, the online business is doing really, really well, and is now a big chunk of it. And we're seeing this. We saw the ShopRite update earlier in the week. They also, I mean, their 60-60 just continues to, you know, do 50% a year. And what we've seen here is, again, online just continues. Sales up by 45.5%. But I think the big number is it's now 14% of total retail sales are now online. That up from 11.2%. Unfortunately, you mentioned the headline there, 11.5% up in revenue, good number there, but much of that came from an acquisition in the UK, and if you remove that acquisition from the process, White Stuff was the name of the business, they're in the low single-digit growth, and the market is not liking at all. That stock's some 8% lower at the moment.
Let's move from clothing to education, and Advatech, it's a private education investor, increasing its presence in East Africa. It's just made an acquisition, but the company has long been talking about this.
They have been, and they have been doing very careful expansions into the rest of the continent. We've got Kuro in Namibia. We have had Advatech in East Africa, and really taking small baby steps, both of them taking small baby steps. But I think markets that have really good potential, these are not giant-sized deals. They're not having to go into massive debt, as we've seen with some of the other sort of misadventures offshore. These are fairly small. They're very targeted. And education, as much as in South Africa, we see families, if they're able, paying up for education for their children. That phenomenon is absolutely global. And much of the rest of the continent has an even greater need for private education than we see in South Africa. So a really good deal, not massive in their life, but they are building a nice ex-South Africa sort of business in their education space.
And finally, Simon, here's another company we all are aware of, a trading update, trading statement today from MTN. First half earnings expected to soar, but mainly due to performances in Nigeria and Ghana, if I read this correctly.
Correct. And Nigeria and Ghana, respectively, their largest and third largest markets. South Africa sits in the middle at second. And what we saw, Jeremy, and we probably would have chatted about this a year ago, currency collapses in both Ghana and Nigeria meant that the operations in the territories were doing well. But when you then converted that back into rands, the currency weakness sliced in some cases 50% of the profits off. So they really got hit in that regard. And then what happens is you roll forward a year, still doing very well operationally in Nigeria and in Ghana, but the currency sort of stabilized over the last year. So you've got that base effect, and they're benefiting from that. It's something which is always going to be a potential risk for MTN or any other business doing significant operations into the rest of the continent, that a currency weakness can take you out at the knees, but then it does shake out in time. And these were good numbers, and MTN up almost 5%, in fact over 5% on the news of that good update.
From Just One Lap, that's our market commentator Simon Brown. Simon, as always, thank you very much. 102.7.